listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for a mortgage loan. The team at Indigo Mortgage will give you a clear and concise loan estimate. Give them a call at 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Welcome back to ABQ Connect. We're visiting today with Ben Corson. He is the founder of Hope Generation. He is a host of a global TV and radio program. You hear him on KNKT daily at 3:30 in the afternoon. He's also the author of several books, including Optimistfits in 2019. And his new book is called Flirting with Darkness, Building Hope in the Face of Depression. He is also the senior pastor of Applegate Christian Fellowship in Jacksonville, Oregon. Ben, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm in Southern California right now, have a few events here today, and just an honor to be with you through Skype. I love being with you guys every time we chat.
And it sounds like you're right here with us. Ben, I want to mention that as COVID allows, we are looking so forward to you coming to New Mexico face-to-face, because we need a comeback in 2021, and Ben Corson is the coach that's going to really lift us up.
I love that. You better believe it. When the opportunity presents itself, you best believe I'm going to be running over to be with you guys again.
Ben, I sometimes struggle personally with hearing from the Lord. I listen and I pray and I listen. And when he does talk to me, he usually gives me one message at a time. But when I visit with you, I think you're getting 10 messages from God, and you're the only guy I know on the planet that can listen to 10 of them at the same time.
Oh, man, I don't know if it's that or it's some sort of spiritual attention hyperactive deficit disorder or what it is. but no, that means a lot. And honestly, I believe that whenever we have our ears attuned to the heavenly radio frequency, our spiritual antennae capable of, you know, being still enough to receive what God would say, I believe God is always ready to speak. I believe that his voice, as the Bible says, is as many waters, and we just got to put ourselves in that flow.
I mentioned your new book, Flirting with Darkness, Building Hope in the Face of Depression. Ben, why did you write this book?
Well, actually, the number one question I get asked from people is, a lot of times it's parents who say, how can I help my kid defeat depression? Or young people coming to me saying, how do I defeat depression? So I realized that basically the supply comes from the demand, and people are asking me so often, how do I defeat depression? So I said, I'm going to write an entire book about it. So Flirting with Darkness, it's really separated into three parts. The first part is my story. I share my own story with depression and overcoming it. The second part is 11 weapons to defeat the dark lord of depression. So really 11 takeaways and handles, very practical steps people can take to overcome depression. And then the third part is just a big uplift to put some pep in your step. By the time you close the book, I want people to feel a lot of joy. So we kind of infuse it with cheer at the end. So I wrote this book because that's the number one question people ask me. And it's also the number one thing that I'm most passionate about sharing. And that is hope, even in the face of depression. That depression is not a disease we have to live with. It's actually a foe that we can overcome when we go on the attack.
Ben, you've had a large share of tragedies in your life. Would you mind telling our audience about some of this pain?
Yeah. When I was in first grade, I remember my sister, you know, me and my sister Jessica, like, I don't remember ever even having an argument or a fight with her. But I remember she was talking with my family at the dinner table, and my dad, you know, was telling her that she needed to marry somebody or date somebody godlier than her. And so she said, well, I'm going to be single the rest of my life because I'm the godliest person I know, you know, just super, super clever, tongue in cheek, beautiful, beautiful girl. And, the next day she passed away in a car accident. Oh. And my brother, Peter John, shared the news. Jessica's found her man. She's found her man. The bride of Christ has finally found someone godlier than her. And she's with Jesus. It was the idea that he was portraying. Well, Peter, my brother who shared that news, he then passed away due to a colon cancer and about a couple years ago now. And, after many, you know, physical maladies that he was enduring from cysts in the brain to stage 4 colon cancer, Crohn's disease, malaria. I mean, just every sort of sickness you can imagine with the immune system. I mean, he seemed to suffer from it. So he passed away as well. And somebody shared with me, your brother graduated, Ben. Your brother graduated, and he was a preacher of grace. So I just picture that, you know, that verse where the Lord says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is what's so wild. When me and my dad were at my brother's deathbed, we actually heard this song playing over the radio, which was a song by The Cry, Take My Hand and Walk. And it was the same song that happened to play at my sister's memorial service. And that just happened to come on the radio when my brother was passing away. And it just shuffled on the radio. And it's as if the Lord with one hand is taking my sister down the wedding aisle and saying, you've found your man, the bride of Christ. And with the other hand, he's upholding my brother saying, you've graduated. Well done, good and faithful servant. Here's your GED, not your general education, but your grace education. And now they're reunited in heaven. And so those are some of the things that really shaped my passion for helping other people who are grieving or bereaved or going through losses or dramas or traumas or bearing their crosses. Like, this is something I'm very zealous about. And so I went through over a decade of chronic depression and suicide ideation. And I went through a romantic heartbreak a few years ago that made me think I'd never be happy again. And in life, we just go through stuff like this. So I'm very, very passionate about helping people find hope in the face of their own tragedies.
Ben, I am almost overwhelmed by these stories and how you still have faith in Jesus and you trust God with all of this. I don't know if I felt this emotion in some time. You call yourself an ex-suicide. Please explain how you came to consider ending your life.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would do really reckless things, sort of like passive victim stuff. So like, I didn't have a motorcycle license and I would take my friend's Rocket and just ride it at excessively fast speeds without a helmet, without a license. Like, I was just very kind of reckless. I'd go up to the tallest building where we live and I would walk on the handrail, just kind of flirting with death, you know, flirting with suicide. And things like that. I even took up a knife one time to kill myself. And so for those 10 years of suicide ideation, even a little more than that, what happened is I started to feel like, you know, tomorrow is subsumed by an infinite gray. Like, tomorrow's going to be no different than today. It's just pain and agony, and that's all that life is. And the fact that God rescued me, my message for people is this: if God could heal me, and he has, he can heal everyone. But here's the simplicity after complexity. You can't give up. I have all these 11 practical steps and 11 practical weapons, but I use the Bible, science, history, my own personal story to help people through depression in this book. But really, the simple one word thing I would say to anyone listening who's seeking to end their life today is this: do not give up. Do not give up. Giving up is not an option. And that is the center of everything. And so my heart for people is that they would get to a place where they understand that on your worst day with God, you're better off than on your best day without God. And when you're going through your worst, God's planning his best. So do not give up.
Amen. You've seen depression from the inside, Ben. You call it a long, dark tunnel. Tell us how severe can depression be for these people you're talking to right now?
It can get so severe that neurobiologically, when your brain starts to experience the process of emotional hurt and self-rejection, your brain actually registers it as physical pain. So a lot of people say, like, man, I don't understand, like, why would somebody want to kill himself or kill herself? And my answer to that is, like, have you ever been in so much physical pain that you longed for euthanasia? Like, have you ever been in so much physical agony that you just were like, please put me out of my misery? Well, that's what happens even neurobiologically when you're going through tough stuff emotionally, when it reaches a certain degree. And so when you experience these feelings of self-hurt and emotional rejection, what it does is it actually is processed in your brain as physical pain. And so people just want to put themselves out of their misery. They want to sort of perform self-euthanasia, and that's how bad it can get.
Mm. Ben, I'm thinking about your own life and what you told us about some of your past experiences. Were you paralyzed by this depression for a long time?
Yeah, I would say at the beginning I was. Like, there was a time in my late teens where even getting out of bed, like, it was something I couldn't even do for a while. I mean, it was pretty bad. I haven't talked a ton about this, but I would lay in bed for hours and hours and hours, like not even able to get out of bed. And that's why one of the weapons that I talk about in the book that really helped me out of it is something called the 10,000 hour rule. And it's the idea that everybody who excels at a craft and becomes world class has to practice for 10,000 hours. So whether you're talking about the Beatles, Bill Joy, Bill Gates, pianists, hockey players, celloists, even master criminals or science fiction writers, you have to practice for 10,000 hours. So one of the things that helped me out of it is to find a purpose where I couldn't find happiness. So one of the things I did is I started ultimately just clocking 10,000 hours. Like, I just literally got stopwatches and paper and a pen and started practicing writing, preaching, studying, and I clocked in 11,073 hours in 5 years, and I cannot express enough how much that helped me get out of depression, because sometimes you have to stop looking for happiness and you instead have to start looking for purpose. And I want to say that again. Sometimes you have to stop looking for happiness and you have to start looking for purpose. Like, if you can't feel joy at the moment, then start chasing meaning. This is logotherapy. Like, when you chase meaning, then the joy and the happiness will follow. And that's what research shows, is that people who have self-discipline are actually happier than people who don't, because people who are self-disciplined tend to accomplish more of their goals. In fact, Angela Duckworth, a psychologist, said that even more than social intelligence, high IQ, good looks, or health, she said it's perseverance for very long-term goals that is actually more of an indicator of flourishing and a key predictor of success across a range of indexes than all those other things. So what I'm trying to say is, when you throw yourself into meaningful work, this is huge in overcoming depression.
Ben, I know, and I don't want to criticize churches in general, but it's my view that the church has not done a real good job of handling mental illness. But they really have come alongside people now that are experiencing clinical depression. And obviously the spiritual element is huge. You've already mentioned how God has changed it around, but there's some other things involved that you also are aware of that are maybe medical.
That's right. You know, I believe that homeopathy in the East and pharmacology in the West can sometimes work hand in hand, that medicine and miracles are not antithetical antonyms or antagonists against one another, but are actually complementary and can work together with each other. So if you look at Jesus, when he healed in one of the stories, a blind guy with his spit, the healing of the blind guy, according to the Bible, it was a miraculous story. But what people don't always realize is that back then, spit was medicine. That's how they viewed it. So like Tacitus, the Roman historian, talks about the Emperor Vespasian healing somebody with his spit. Now, whether or not we think Tacitus got the facts right is irrelevant. The point is that back then they looked at spit as having medicine, like medicament properties. And so I'm a big believer in using prayer and medicine when it comes to our physical bodies. And when it comes to antidepressants, what I would say is this: there are things called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and no one fully knows how they work, but the prevailing theory is basically that, you know, when your postsynaptic neuron isn't getting enough serotonin sent from your presynaptic neuron, which is reabsorbing it. Serotonin is a feel-good chemical. Basically, that synapse or that space between the neurons, it's not working properly like it should, the whole process. And so that's the prevailing theory of antidepressants. Now, regardless of what I think of antidepressants, I just would say this. People, I think, should not be judged based on needing to go to the doctor or needing medicine when it comes to mental illness as well, because I think prayer and medicine can work hand in hand. And we have to remove the stigma as the church. We have to remove the taboo from depression. And not only that, but here's something else that's really important. A lot of people think like, if you go to a therapist, you're not spiritual enough. And I have no idea where they got that in the Bible. Like, I don't see one place in the Bible where it says therapy is wrong. In fact, the opposite is true. It says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Like, the more counselors, the better. And I have a very amazing counselor who really walked me through my depression. And this therapist loves the Lord, but is also very much into science. And I think people fail to realize sometimes that Christians invented the scientific method. Roger Bacon and William of Ockham, about 700-800 years ago, invented the scientific method. So I don't think God is at war with science. He actually used Christians and friars and monks to invent science. And I don't think God is against medicine. I think the Bible shows that medicine and miracles go hand in hand, because Luke, who wrote about Paul, for example, healing people with his sweatbands and aprons miraculously, was himself a medical doctor. So medicine and miracles in the Bible, from my understanding, can actually go hand in hand.
Stay with us here on ABQ Connect.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosky Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air. Call Bosky and we'll be.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. A Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
At Krecker Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Krecker Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. TheKreckerLawFirm.com. CRECCA lawfirm.com.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi, friends. John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept, and there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are joined this afternoon by Ben Corson. He is the founder of Hope Generation. He is a host of a global TV and radio program. You hear him on KNKT daily at 3:30 in the afternoon. He's also the author of several books, including Optimisfits in 2019. And his new book is called Flirting with Darkness, Building Hope in the Face of Depression. He is also the senior pastor of Applegate Christian Fellowship in Jacksonville, Oregon. Ben, in your study called Brave in the Dark, you say that depression and suicide are at epidemic proportions for young people. How serious
yes.
is it?
There are, according to USA Today, a study a few years back, 123 suicides per day in America. 123 suicides per day. So once out of every 40 seconds, someone in the world will commit suicide. That's how bad it is. In 2017, suicide was the number two leading cause of death in my age group. I'm going to say that again. The number two leading cause of death in my age group in 2017 was suicide.
That is heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. Ben, what do you hear back from people after you speak at a certain location or a certain city. Like I know you're going to be down in South Florida soon. What do you hear back from people after you speak?
Well, I think what's really interesting is, you know, the kind of truism and trope that what's most personal is most universal. What I found in my life is that the things that are most personal to me end up being the most universal. So when I share this message of hope, I found that that's what resonates most with people out of anything else I share, which is so ironic because I'm just saying stuff that helped me and still helps me to get to a place of hope. And sometimes you think, well, this is so personal to me. Like, how could this help anyone else? It's too specific. It's too individual. But actually, that's kind of how it works. You know, like the more individual and personal and deep it is for you, the more it will have a widespread impact on other people. And that's what I found sharing my message of hope. One of my favorite stories, we actually made a short film about it, is a guy was actually going to drive his car off the side of the road and commit suicide. But he was scanning through the radio and Hope Generation came on. And when he heard me talking about hope, he decided to give his life and his hope to the Lord and didn't commit suicide. Like those are the stories that really propel me forward and just are a huge uplift for me to keep going. Because if I can help other people not give up, then I'm fulfilling my life's mission.
Amen. Ben Corson is with us this afternoon. He is the founder of Hope Generation. It's a worldwide multimedia ministry. You can see Ben and his teachings on TV, radio across the country, including our station. He's also the author of several books, including Optimisfits in 2019. That was the first book, Ben, that I read of yours. And just so you know, I have five children, and three of those are daughters, and they all of them just loved your book, Optimisfits.
Oh, that makes me happy. Gosh, that makes me happy. Well, that means a lot to me because Optimisfits, I wanted it to be a very fun book, you know? Like, I wanted it to bring people a big sense of buoyant Jesus joy, holy happiness, calm delight, and sacred optimism. So that means a lot. And it's, you know, what's really uplifting for me to think about is that I think a lot of people suspected 10 years ago that like we wouldn't really read books anymore. But I think there's a longing for spiritual depth in a superficial age, you know, in this sort of epoch of TikTok. I think people are rediscovering the beauty of actually reading a book. You know what I mean?
It is. And I have not had a chance to go all the way through Flirting with Darkness, Building Hope in the Face of Depression. But I do want to ask about one of your titles. One of your chapter titles is very intriguing in that it's actually the shortest verse in the Bible. Tell us about that.
Well, a lot of people think the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. And that's true in English, but it wasn't originally written in English. In fact, in the original language of the Bible, the shortest verse in the scripture is rejoice always. So a lot of times we, you know, if brevity is the wit of genius and a pithy proverb packs a powerful punch, and it's like, see, the shortest verse in the Bible that packs the most powerful punch is Jesus wept. But actually, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So I actually like the fact that in the original language of the Bible, the shortest verse is actually rejoice always. And so I like this MORNING, morning kind of faith, better than an MOURNING, like morning, sad kind of faith. Because weeping endures for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
Ben, thinking about your answer there, I'm thinking about people with depression, not even being able to get out of bed in the morning.
Yep.
But if they get up and they read the word, that could be really an important change in their lives.
Yes. I believe that movement creates motivation. So if you're in bed and you cannot get up and you're like, I want to read the scriptures. I want to go for a prayer walk. I want to lace up my sneakers and go for a run because a 40-minute jog has the same effect on your brain as an antidepressant. I want to throw myself into meaningful work, but like I can't do it. I want to remind you that movement creates motivation. And sometimes we wait for motivation before we start to move, but you have to do it the other way around. You have to start moving regardless of what you feel. So 95% of the time, it's our feelings that decide for us. Antonio Damasio, who's a neuroscientist, tells us that 95% of the time, our feelings decide for us. That's bad news bears, because how many of you would trust a friend that lies to you as much as your emotions do? Like, I would not trust a friend that lied to me as much as my feelings do. So that's why I want to encourage people to walk by faith and not by feelings. That movement creates motivation, that sometimes you have to start moving regardless of what you feel, or regardless of even if you think it's helping. And over time, you're going to start to make progress. You're going to start to gain traction, and you're going to turn your scars into stars, your wounds into wisdom. And I guarantee you, you're going to use your story to help other people in their narrative arc as well, if you'll start moving.
Ben, walk us through some of the weapons that you talked about earlier for defeating depression, especially the one called Scripture Scholar Scuba Gear.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people are content with sort of jet skiing across the surface of the Bible, across the water of the Word. And there's so much there that people don't explore. Just like kind of how our earth is, you know, 75% covered in water, or 71% covered in water, and 95% of those waters are unexplored. So too, the Scriptures, the water of the Word, are so largely unexplored by people. Like, we just kind of jet ski across the surface of the water of the Word. So for example, we know, like, I can do all things through Christ, or all things work together for the good, or God so loved the world. But we often don't really emphasize some of the crazier verses in the Bible, like, turn ye to the strongholds, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Like, that's Zechariah the prophet. Or even funny verses where Isaiah tells the king, your palace is a hut in a field of melons. Like, I bet a lot of people didn't know that was in the Bible. But one translation says, your palace is a hut in a field of cucumbers, if you want to be really controversial. But it's so funny, because there's so many teeming deeps of mystery in the Scriptures if we're willing to take a deeper dive. And so what I like to tell people is the fact that there are over 3,500 promises in the Bible. Why would you settle for just 3, 4, or 5? Why not take as many promises as you can and start applying them to your life? And you'll see that that makes all the difference. So don't just settle for the jet ski. Put on the Scripture Scholar scuba gear and dive deep into the water of the Word.
Amen. This is way off script, Ben, not on my list of questions for you, but I was just thinking about it. I read a chapter of Proverbs to correspond with the day of the month. So today I'm in Proverbs 4, and 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And the entire time you've been speaking, I've been thinking about how people need to guard their hearts, because there's so many contrary messages coming at us.
You're right. And I was actually speaking in Miami a few weeks ago, and I felt really called to share with the VU Church, their leadership team where I was speaking. I felt really called to share with them, you know, protect your hope. And that's kind of a phrase that I've been very passionate about. Protect your hope. Protect your hope. Protect your hope. Because, you know, we know the importance of protecting our muscle and our body. We know the importance of protecting our health by eating clean, but I don't think we always realize the importance of protecting our hope. And I want to encourage you, like, what are you putting into your heart? Like, what media are you watching? What music are you listening to? And you, only you can know between you and God, like, is this stuff that's going to give you more hope, or is it stuff that's actually going to inspire you to give up? And so I think we need to guard our heart, for out of it flow the issues of life, as Proverbs says, as you read. But also to protect our hope, because the Bible says the Christ in us, that Christ mentioned in us, is the hope of glory. So protect that hope of glory that's inside of you, and don't let anything steal it away from you. Guard your heart, protect your hope.
Amen. Ben, this kind of seems like a sensitive question. I always feel self-conscious sometimes about asking people questions that have gone through a lot, which you obviously have. Recently had Daryl Strawberry, the famous baseball player, on, and he went through a lot of drug addiction and probably some depression and things, and now he's preaching the gospel and doing great. Your book goes from flirting with darkness to dancing in the light, which has been your journey, but do you still struggle with depression?
That's a great question. When depression rears its ugly head, I know what to do with it now. Do you know what I mean? So it's different than it used to be. Before, it was just like this overwhelming Leviathan or behemoth that was emerging from the deeps and just swallowing me whole. Now I have the weapons to beat it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of the difference now. It's not, It's not that I always feel happy. That would be a lie. Like, that's not, I have a hard time believing that's even human. Although that'd be a wonderful place to attain if you can get there. But basically, I haven't got there yet where it's like, I don't feel the emotions of sorrow or the emotions of sadness or frustration. But what I have found is that these weapons, prayer walks, you know, scripture scholar scuba gear, the fact that the 10,000 hour rule helped save my life, that God can rewrite our story, that we can own our oddness, that we can release endorphins through exercise, you know, that we can go on friend ventures and look forward to heaven, and that God is Elroy, the God who, he is the God who sees what we're going through, and dreamality, and all these sort of let God love on you, all these sort of weapons that I talk about in the book. I really use those so that I'm armed to the teeth. So whenever the dark lord of depression rears its ugly head, I know how to defeat him now by taking these practical steps.
Stay with us here on ABQ Connect.
I'm Rob Snead, general manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You get a better deal and a better experience. Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or just come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Early Christian education should glorify God by providing an orderly, nurturing, and stimulating atmosphere for students exploring the world around them. Calvary Preschool strives to do just that. Each child who attends grows mentally, physically, socially, and spiritually as they interact with a loving, caring group of adults and peers. Registration for the 2021-2022 school year opens on February 16th. Visit CalvaryChurchPreschool.com today for more information. That's CalvaryChurchPreschool.com.
No matter how tight the family budget gets, Dr. Tony Evans says many people still find enough left over to buy a lottery ticket, or two, or more. He'll talk about that phenomenon today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
People play the lottery for one overwhelming reason: to get rich quick. They see those numbers go up and up and up and up and up. You got a better chance of finding oil in your backyard or getting hit by lightning than to win somebody's lottery. And the Bible condemns trying to luck your way into financial freedom, when if you would operate by God's orchestrated plan, you can begin to see God at work. And the thing is, folk playing the lottery and praying to God that they win. The Bible says to be content with your needs being met, the essentials of life, food, clothes, and shelter. Those are the essentials of life. Philippians 4:19 is a great promise in Scripture, and it promises to those who had their things in order. He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He is a need-meeting God. He loves to meet needs.
Learn how to find financial peace no matter what your bank balance looks like. Check out Tony's CD series, U-Turn, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Holly Slade and Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming on KNKT and ABQ Connect. Call Holly and Dave and the rest of their team at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book. Call Holly and Dave at 342-8100 or reach Holly or Dave on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. We are joined this afternoon by Ben Corson. He is the founder of Hope Generation. He is a host of a global TV and radio program. You hear him on KNKT daily at 3:30 in the afternoon. He's also the author of several books, including Optimisfits in 2019, and his new book is called Flirting with Darkness, Building Hope in the Face of Depression. He is also the senior pastor of Applegate Christian Fellowship in Jacksonville, Oregon. And, you know, I want to go back to the book. The book is called, for all of our listeners, Flirting with Darkness, Building Hope in the Face of Depression. And you've mentioned the 11, you call them weapons, 11 weapons
yes.
to fight depression. Can you tell us a success story of someone you have shared these weapons with?
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm so happy about is when people are reading this book, what blows my mind is when I'm doing this book tour and people are getting this book, you would think like, man, a lot of people are going to get this for themselves. You know, like they're going to get this so that they find help in overcoming depression. But what I found most intriguing of all is that actually it's parents who are oftentimes getting it for their kids. And the thing that gives me so much joy and so much hope is when I'm meeting all these people in these cities, to see the hope that's lighting up their face, that they know that the story's not over for their child, that's what means the most to me. So like when I'm sharing, I'm kind of touring this message right now about the 11 weapons. I kind of go through these 11 weapons to defeat the dark lord of depression. What happens is when I share these weapons with people, to see the tears in the eyes, the joy in the face, the glowing countenance, that there is hope, that's something that makes me say, like, I want to do this the rest of my life.
Yes. Ben, how has COVID exacerbated this problem of depression?
Well, I think the coronavirus has obviously harmed our mental health in a massive way. Nearly half of Americans have reported that COVID-19 has exacerbated our mental illness. Nearly half. So there's one federal emergency hotline that reported a 1,000% increase in incoming calls regarding those in emotional distress. So because of COVID, which is crazy because of this COVID season. So I just want to really encourage people that if you feel depressed during this coronavirus season, just remember you are not alone, because this is something that the statistics are showing us left and right.
Ben, tell us a little bit about your website, bencorson.com. That's BENCOURSON.com.
Yeah, so at my website, you can find our YouTube channel, which has, I think, somewhere around 700 videos. We have a lot of videos. Tons of short films. You can also find where our TV show, how to watch our TV show, how to listen to our radio show. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can watch any of our teachings over the past few years. So it's just kind of the place where you can find Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all of our social media, because we just want to douse people in daily hope quotes, daily hope content, and just sort of immerse them in the water of the word, because Paul said in Romans 15:4, the scriptures were written that we might have hope.
Yes. Tell us about your speaking schedule coming up.
Yeah. Well, as of today, I get to go on the Ryan Reese show after this, which is going to be a blast. And then I have a podcast interview, and then tomorrow I film for TBN. I do a lot of several different shows with TBN, and I'm on the Hillsong channel, and I speak this weekend in Los Angeles, and then I speak in Florida here coming up, and I speak back home at Applegate as well. So I'm kind of just living on airplanes in this season, going back and forth between my home church and city to city, spreading the hope. Because, hey, if you found the cure to HIV as a social activist, or you found the panacea to AIDS, or the nepenthe to cancer as a medical scientist, like, you would shout that thing from the rooftops. And I really believe, as complicated as depression can be, I really do believe I have the cure. So that's why I go around spreading hope from city to city, because I'm really passionate about this cure.
Oh, Ryan, I appreciate that so much. Ben, tell Ryan we said hello. He will be in Albuquerque on Friday 12th. He's bringing his Whosoever skate park tour to one of our big skate parks here in Albuquerque.
Oh, that's so amazing. Ryan's doing such great work. And it's people like him who should give a lot of the older generation hope, because, you know, there are so many young people that are coming to faith and coming to find hope in God. And as chaotic and crazy as these times are, they're also very exciting, because the darker and bleaker the backdrop is, the brighter the star of hope can really glisten against the velvet of interstellar void. What I'm saying is the worse things are, the more we have a chance to shine. That's what Paul said. He said, we shine as lights in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. So I'm really excited for what people like Ryan are doing. And I'm so glad that I get to, you know, do this hope generation thing. And there is so much hope for our generation. I'm excited to see what God's doing and bringing about a spiritual awakening in Gen Zennials. It's fun to see.
Ben, could I ask you to pray for someone in the audience who is where you were? Would you mind praying for them today?
Yes. Lord, I just pray for anyone who is so depressed they can't see any hope beyond today, that they might think tomorrow's just going to look the same as today. For those who can't take their thoughts captive, for those who can't find any reason to keep going, for those who are tempted to give up, for those who are seduced by the dark lord of depression, I pray that you would heal them, that you would give them peace, that you would give them joy, and that you would help them to not give up, that you would help them to take these 11 weapons and make use of them and go into the spiritual armory and use these weapons in their arsenal to beat back the dark lord of depression. So I pray for hope. I pray for the healing balm of Gilead. I pray that you, Jehovah Rapha, would heal them. Jehovah Jireh, provide for them. El Roy, see them. Jehovah Nisi, be their banner. I pray for your hope to cascade into the heart of anyone listening who is struggling with depression, that they would know the story ain't over. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Flirting with Darkness, Building Hope in the Face of Depression is a new book by Ben Corson. Ben, thanks for sharing with us today.
Such an honor being with you, my friend, and I'm looking forward to all the things to come, and let's keep spreading hope galore. We have a really cool job. We have a really cool job, and I love what you're doing, and I love the joy that you share and the joy that you spread, and we'll keep getting after it.
Thank you, Ben. God bless.
God bless.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.